Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A federal judge certifies Liberty University's appeal of the Title VII lawsuit. We're going to be talking about this development on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this seems like a cut and dry religious discrimination case where this man is now saying that he wants to be identified as a woman and got fired from Liberty University because obviously Liberty has a religious mission, a Christian mission. And so that seems, you know, correct that he would be fired, but he's continuing to fight that, and we're still in court with this case.
Yeah, and so the reason why this is significant that the federal court has certified Liberty University's appeal of the Title VII lawsuit is that we can now go up on appeal to get a particular significant legal question addressed without having to spend time in the lower court going through the laborious, lengthy, costly proceeding of discovery leading up to the very end of the case where you have to go to trial.
But, you know, this seems like such a setup because this man was already taking hormones before he even applied for the job.
That's right. Yeah, he did take hormones already before he applied for the job.
But he lied.
So in this case, though, we're up on appeal and we'll be arguing the legal issue because what happened in the case is he lied. He began taking hormones 4 months before he applied to Liberty University, knowing that he was going down this road of taking hormones and wanted to change his name. And he applied, and on the Liberty University application is Liberty University's doctrinal statement, and their religious beliefs are very clearly expressed. And so clear, it says that we are made in the image of God and that God created us male and female, and that to identify as anything other than your sex at birth is a sin. So it's pretty clear. He signs off on that. He knows the university's position, then goes through the 90-day probation, then comes to Liberty University and says, well, I've been taking these hormones. I started taking them 4 months before I applied. I want to change my name to Eleanor from Jonathan and wants to identify as a woman as opposed to a man. He gets terminated because that's obviously a blatant violation of the doctrinal statement, and he files suit. Mm-hmm. So we file a motion to dismiss the case, raising several legal issues. A First Amendment, Religious Freedom Restoration Act, Title VII, and so forth. And the judge in this case denies that motion to dismiss, but in doing so says that these particular legal issues raise a matter of, quote, first impression, meaning the judge doesn't have any specific legal precedent in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that governs Virginia or at the United States Supreme Court on these specific legal questions that we argued. Now, it's a what's called an interlocutory ruling, meaning that it's a ruling that's not final. The case has not been totally litigated. So in some cases, in many cases, in most cases, you'd have to continue to litigate in the case, go through the lengthy discovery process, and then finally get this legal issue decided later. But we argued that this legal question is dispositive. And if we win on this legal question, several of them are very critical, then we win and we don't have to go through discovery. And the judge agreed with that and issued a ruling certifying this case as ready for appeal, even though it's an interlocutory appeal. It's not a final ruling. It's interlocutory. So the legal questions are now before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And here's one of the legal questions. Section 702 and 703 of Title VII, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, exempts a religious institution like Liberty University to protect its religious freedom to carry out its Christian mission. So they're exempted. We argue that Liberty University is exempt, and therefore Title VII should not apply. when Zinsky wants to force Liberty University on something that's a matter of its Christian doctrine. The judge in this case did not dismiss on that basis because he said there's not a specific case that's been decided in the Fourth Circuit or the United States Supreme Court that says if it's an LGBTQ sexual orientation kind of claim, does that also mean if that conflicts with a religious institution's doctrinal statement, do they have immunity? Are they exempted under Section 702 and 703? And so that's part of the question. I think we are. I think there are several reasons why we win. Section 702 and 703 of the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act exempts religious employers like Liberty to protect them for their religious mission. In other words, a Christian school can hire Christians as their staff. A Jewish school can hire Jewish people for their staff. Put it in the context of a church. A church can hire staff that believe their doctrinal statement and terminate people who don't believe their doctrinal statement.
Right. And if this wasn't a setup, this man could have easily gotten a job at a secular university or another company. They probably, some of them would have welcomed him in this situation. But I just believe he came to attack Liberty University for its Christian mission.
I think you're no doubt correct on that, because we know Jonathan Zinsky was taking hormones, female hormones, 4 months before he applied.
So why would he be interested in working for a Christian university if that's not what he believes?
He's not, other than he wants to change the Christian university. He wants to force the Christian university, using the courts, to change to conform to his worldview.
Or the church he goes to doesn't really preach the gospel.
Well, I'm not sure he goes to any church. But wherever he goes, it doesn't really matter. Or if he doesn't go anywhere, is not the point. The point is, he lied, and when he applied, he knew very clearly the university's doctrinal position.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he didn't agree with it.
Right.
He knew he was going to fool them. He knew he was going to work kind of undercover and then spring it on them after he gets past his 90-day probation.
And he really thought he wouldn't get fired. Really?
Well,
that was all part of it.
He's probably even prepared to be fired. I think the whole thing is a setup. And then the ACLU is representing him. So the whole thing is a setup.
Mm.
The whole thing was a setup to attack Liberty University.
It's ridiculous to put all this stuff through the courts. It costs time and money in order to try to prove your point.
Well, he intentionally and flagrantly violated Liberty University's doctrinal statement and policies regarding the biblical understanding of sex. And he knew that, and he hoped one of two things would happen. The university would just cave, and they would say, okay, yeah, you can continue to work, and you can dress and drag, and we'll call you Eleanor, and you can identify as a female, and we'll give you an exception to our doctrinal statement. Now, imagine that. They have a doctrinal statement that the students and staff, faculty, have to apply and abide by. Now they hire somebody who actually works with students, mm-hmm. staff, and faculty, because that's what he would have done in the IT department. They work with them. And now they know this person is not abiding by the doctrinal statement. What kind of a message does that give?
Right. Can you imagine these students that are going to a Christian university, and then they call home and said, Mom, the guy that helped me in the IT was a guy, but he thinks he's a girl.
Yeah, I know.
There's a problem.
And they do like a Zoom with them because they're trying to walk through something on their computer to fix their system. And this person obviously is a man but is dressing like a woman.
Right.
This is Liberty University. It's a Christian university. What in the world are they doing?
Yeah.
So no, Liberty University has a right to have its doctrinal position. You have a right to be protected. And not only Title VII protects you, but the First Amendment protects you. But not only the First Amendment protects you, but the Religious Freedom Restoration Act protects you as well. There's a lot of reasons why Liberty University should win this case. So that's why a lot of people are watching this case, a lot of legal-type people are watching this case, because of the kind of precedent it could set The ACLU is involved, and so the ACLU is wanting to make an example out of Liberty University. We won't allow them to do that. So we are involved, Liberty Council. We are representing Liberty University. We are happy to do so. We believe that we will win this case. It is a critically important case, not just for Liberty University, which it certainly is for Liberty University, for their doctrinal mission and statement, but for others as well. Because if Liberty loses, religious freedom loses. Mm-hmm. So pray for this case. It is Zinsky versus Liberty University. Now it's going to be Liberty University versus Zinsky on appeal. It's a case that is going to have an impact around the country. For more information, visit Liberty Council's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.